in today's gospel, taken from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, we hear yet another response by our Lord, which shows us how differently he thinks from basically all the rest of us. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5, says that we need to have within us the same mind that is in Christ Jesus. You know, but how many of us really do think with the mind of Christ? Probably not too many. Let's just give a few examples of how our Lord sees things. During his public ministry, Jesus, before raising Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus from the dead, he looked at death in the face, and he looked it in the face and called it sleep. He said, "Blessed are those who are poor and those who weep." He had tremendous mercy towards sinners, while at the same time he spoke red-hot, scorching words against sin itself. He said we are to rejoice when we are persecuted for his sake. He said that the greatest among us is the one who serves us. He also said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. When his disciples James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven once upon a city that would not welcome him, he said that they didn't know of what kind of spirit they were. He also said that the burden he asks his followers to carry is easy and light, but that it entails denying ourselves. These are just some of the examples that we see in his earthly ministry that show how very differently our Lord's way of evaluating life is compared to the way we tend to evaluate things. And we even have another example of that today in the gospel. The question posed to our Lord was about fasting, which is a penitential practice, which can even help us to master our disordered passions. Fasting was a sign of mourning and was even a way of petitioning God, of making our prayers more fruitful. It still is today. For the Pharisees, though, it was a moralistic question. They considered themselves more spiritual than other people. Why? Because they fasted often. And the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees even speak of fasting here in a competitive manner. It's almost as if they're saying the one who fasts the most are the better, they're the most holy. That's essentially the argument they're presenting to Jesus in today's Gospels. This also brings to mind a warning which St. Paul had given in the second letter to the Corinthians when he said this, quote, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves," he says, "they are not wise." 2 Corinthians 10:12. So comparing the penances that I do to those of other people in order to measure my spiritual level or my level of holiness isn't very wise in God's eyes. And again, the apostle in 1 Corinthians 3:3 says this, "Since there is among you envy and contention, are you not carnal and walking according to man?" That is, according to the worldly way of thinking. The disciples of John and the Pharisees were actually thinking that they were better than Jesus' disciples because they were more rigorous and more strict. But in reality, they were behaving like people who are not guided by the Holy Spirit in their reasonings and in their actions. Jesus and his disciples did observe the fasts that were required by the law of Moses. But regarding the whole question of fasting, Jesus again looked at it in a different light. He talked of fasting in the context of a wedding. It wasn't just a question of penance or prayer or of disciplining one's body or of appearing righteous before men or even before God. Fasting for him was a question of love. St. Matthew wrote this, and we heard it today. The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." Matthew 9, verses 14 and 15. Jesus calls himself the bridegroom, just as John the Baptist had called him. He's the bridegroom, and his bride is the church. But his bride is also the human flesh that he took in his incarnation. In his own person, in his own flesh, Jesus married humanity with God, the human nature with the divine nature. So while he who is God is walking on earth amongst his followers, it's time for rejoicing, not time for fasting. All things were created through him and for him, St. Paul tells us in Colossians 1:16. The creator of the world has become one of us. He's walking amongst us as our teacher and as our friend. So that means it's time to rejoice. That's the point that Jesus is trying to get across to some of John's disciples who weren't as spiritually on the ball as John himself was, John the Baptist. So again, Jesus puts the whole question of fasting in that different light. The disciples of Jesus fast when Jesus is taken away from them, as happened after his ascension into heaven. But fasting itself should always be placed in the optic of love. In fact, every penance, every sacrifice, every prayer, every good work that we do needs to be seen in that context of love, not merely as a duty or an obligation or opportunity for us to gain attention or admiration from other people. The good that we do is a response to the love that God has shown us in the person of Jesus Christ. St. John himself, in his New Testament letter, says this, quote, "We love God because he first loved us," 1 John 4:19. And so we don't fast or pray or do any good work to try to win God's love or his approval. The fact that we are his adopted children means that he already loves us unconditionally. What he wants to see is simply that we love him, that we are making the sincere effort to line up our will with his will, and yes, to line up our thoughts with his thoughts, so that we can truly begin to see life through the eyes of Jesus. So on this first Saturday of the month, let's ask Our Lady for the grace to really begin to see life from God's perspective, from the gospel's perspective. Let's ask her for the grace to see that in life, it is better to give than it is to receive, that it's a blessing to be persecuted for following Christ, that even material poverty is a blessing, especially for those who have taken a vow of poverty, because as Jesus says, what will it profit a man if he gains all the riches of the world, yet loses his soul? Matthew 16:26. Let's also ask Our Lady for the grace to understand that it's better to weep for our sins and the sins of others than to eat and drink and be merry. And let's ask her for the grace to see our penitential acts of fasting or whatever we do in the light of love, that love which we owe to our Creator and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, so that one day we too may arrive at that joyous heavenly wedding banquet, which will last for all eternity. Praise be Jesus and Mary.